Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lin. Pastor Bruce has shared, I'm a missionary from the Philippines. So I came to Taiwan 5 years ago to just help our church reach more students, because our heart is to really reach the next generation. And I'm really grateful for Pastor Bruce and our leadership team, and even Pastor Casey, who had led the church before, for just entrusting me with this important task of just making sure that our church is reaching the next generation and the training them into the Word of God and just really being a mission force to the field. Yeah, so we are in this series. It's called Mission Field to Mission Force. So we're talking about the motive, the mandate, manifesto, and mission. So honor God. Even the start of our church 40 years ago, our leaders decided that whatever we do, everything will revolves on the honor of God. So everything we plan, every meeting, every training, it's all honoring to God. We always ask, are we honoring God? Are we making disciples? Are we reaching the nations? Are we reaching the next generation? Are we raising leaders? So we always ask those questions so that we won't forget why we are here, why our leaders started the church here, why we came to Taiwan. And even the past weeks, many of our missionaries who are helping us and serving alongside us also shared their testimony, how they are honoring God and making disciples. And today, I will be sharing about the manifesto. It says, change the campus and change the world. Why do we go to the campuses? And why campus ministry? So we will answer that question as we read in Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. It says, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but to tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord, his might, and other wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell to their children, so they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And verse 8 says, and they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. So this psalm was written by Asaph. It is a historical psalm recounting the Israel's life from the Pentateuch to the life of David. And it is written so the people or the next generation would learn from it and remember God. Asaph hopes that those who sing this psalm will never forget how good God is, because as people, we have a tendency to do that. We get too busy doing our own thing and forget that God is there. God is the one helping us, and God is the one giving us strength to do so. So God doesn't want the next generation to live in sin and unbelief like their ancestors. In verse 1, it says, give ear, O my people. So he was addressing the people of God, inviting them to listen to the teaching. he said, incline your ears. It means to pay attention. It's important that you have to pay attention. Incline your ears, focus to what I'm going to say. And he said here that he will say and open his mouth to say a parable. And utter dark sayings from of old, lessons from the past. And in verse 3, it says that things that we have heard and known. So these things that he is going to tell the people are not new things. Those were things that were told to them by their forefathers, by their ancestors, the things that they already know, things that they already experience. And as you continue on to read from verse 9 to 72, you will see the series of events where people were so unfaithful to God. They were rebellious. They did not remember God. And the response of God would always be to come and show his unfailing love to them, his grace and compassion. So Asaph in this text was calling out the people to remember. He was reminding them as he recounted the events in the past to remember God. Do not forget. Keep his commands. Look to God. And most importantly, it says in verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. That the things that we have heard and learned, we will tell it to the next generation. And what are these things that we should tell them? It's the mighty works of God, the glorious deeds of God. Whatever God did in the past, whatever God has done for us. And we talk about God's power as well, God's might, how he made impossible things possible in the past. Therefore, we can trust in him. The next generation can trust in him when they learn how powerful God is, how good God is. And the third one is the wonders that he has done, whatever God has done for us, including our testimonies. We should tell that to the next generation. Whatever we heard and learned, we should tell them. And in verse 5, it's just an emphasis on how God has given the Israel the law and the testimony and instructed them to tell the next generation. It doesn't stop in the next generation. It says, even the ones yet unborn. And then the next generation after that, and then the generation after that, God is calling us to tell the next generation beyond our generation about his good deeds, about who he is, about the power that he has. And teaching and telling the next generation about who God is, it is just discipleship. This is what we are all called to do. Make disciples. This is the mandate of God for us. And yeah, it says like, who is God calling to disciple the next generation? So we learn it today that it's also the next generation. Pastor Bruce has shared last week that we are all missionaries. We are all called to proclaim God's goodness, to preach the gospel. And today, we know it also includes the next generation. So I'm not saying that we all give up whatever we're doing and join us in campus ministry. I'd be happy if you would do that. But then our hope is that we will seize every opportunity that we have when we are beside a younger person, because we all have a younger people around us. How do we treat them? How do we see them? How do we speak to them? Do we see them as God's chosen one? Do we see them as God's world changers? Do we see them as leaders? Or we just look down on them because they're young, they don't have experience? I hope we don't do that. I hope we speak life to them. And we will tell them what Jesus did on the cross, how Jesus helped us, how Jesus redeemed us, how Jesus healed us. Yeah, so let's invest and speak life to the next generation. And what do we hope to achieve as we preach the gospel to the next generation? We want the next generation to set their hope on Jesus, on God, the solid foundation, so that whatever they face in the future, they will continue on and run the race, finish the race set before them, because they know that nothing is impossible with God. And if they trust God, they can move mountains. So what's gonna happen if the word is not passed on to the next generation? It says that, yeah, they will be like the Israelites. They will be rebellious and stubborn. They will not know God. It says in the following verses that God heard the cry of the Israel. He rescued them. He provided for them. But people responded with sin and rebellion. They did not remember. They often forget God. So God divided the sea and let them cross it. He led them by the cloud by day and fire by night. He broke open the rocks in the wilderness so that they will never thirsty. God even rained down manna and meat for them. But their heart was just so stubborn. They keep on going back to their old ways. And I'm sure a lot of us could relate to that. God provided for us, but we forget. We forget how good God is. And we just turn to our own ways and try to figure things out and not seeking what the will of God is for our life. And whenever we do that, God's heart is just grieving. And God was angry because of the response of the Israel. And he punished them. But then, because God is compassionate, it says in verse 38 to 39, yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity, did not destroy them. We deserve to die because of our sins. But God would always relent his wrath. He says, he remembered that they were but flesh. A wind that passes comes not again. God knows that on our own, we cannot be faithful to him. On our own, we're just too weak to trust him. He knows that with our own efforts, we can never be faithful to him. So he made a way for us so that we can stand before his presence and not be consumed by his fire, by his wrath. He sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have eternal life. It is through Christ that we are made righteous. Now we are not under the law. We should do this, we should do that. But it should be out of a relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And today I'm just standing here with all of you, telling you about my story, because there were people who obeyed the mandate to make disciples. There were people who cared enough to tell me who God is, that I was not living right, that I would die if I don't repent of my sins. So there were a bunch of people who helped me to be who I am today. And I'm really grateful that God sent them to me. So first is my classmate, Lani. Can you show the photo? Yeah. Yeah, so as you can see, I'm the rebellious one not wearing uniform. I don't like wearing uniforms. So yeah, and the person in front of me, like sitting down, is Lani. He was the one. She was the one who discipled me at first. She taught me how to read the Bible, how to preach the gospel, how to pray. And even in one of our meetings, first meeting, I think, she told me that, you know, you are going to do this in the future. And I was like, I don't think so. I think that's only for you guys, not for me. And then she also said that, yeah, you can do this even right now after this. You can do one-to-one with someone else. I was like, I don't think so. And she said, as long as you are one chapter ahead of one-to-one or one chapter ahead of the Bible you're reading, you can help someone know God. The problem is if they read faster than you. So I was like, okay. So everyone believed that. Everyone in the church believed that as long as you're one chapter ahead. But of course, I didn't do it. I waited and I said, I don't think I'm mature enough and I'm not ready. And when I obeyed God, I realized that I only matured when I started discipling someone. I mature as I do it, as I disciple someone, as we encounter problems together, and as we seek God together for answers and solutions. And the second person who also made an impact in my life when I was a new believer was my Connect Group leader. She was a nurse by profession, so she usually have night shift, and she would come to our university after her shift to make sure that we are growing in the Lord, that we are reading our Bibles. And at first, I was just like taking her for granted. I would not prioritize our meeting. I would rather sleep at home than go to our Connect Group meeting. Yeah, so I was like that. And then every time I will not reply to our group chat about Connect Group, my friend would just go to my house, wake me up, because she knows that at that time I'm just sleeping at home, but I don't want to come. And she would take me to the Connect Group. So we would usually come to our Connect Group an hour late or so. So I just don't understand why she would continue reaching out to us like that. Like I think she was my Connect Group for 2 to 3 years. And yeah, we were maturing, but we are, still not consistent. But I never understood during that time, why is she willing to do this? Why would she wait for us instead of sleeping at home and resting? And then there was a third person who helped me grow in my relationship with God. That's our campus missionary during that time, the one in black shirt. He is, Pastor Paul. He is now a pastor and planting a church in the university near us. And he is now a pastor of my niece. So it's really great to see him still reaching out to the next generation. And this person, he would call us leaders and world changers. Next photo. Yes. The faces of world changers. For him, world changers. We're like, are you sure? But then he just believed in the calling of God. Please remove it. Now I'm too shy. Okay. So he would believe that we can change the world, that we can make an impact. And then he trained us to do an outreach on campus. He trained us how to preach the gospel, how to plan an event, and entrusted us with responsibilities. And during that time, I was just 18 years old. I've only been attending church for 2 to 3 months. And I was just baptized like a couple of weeks, maybe 2 weeks. And he was calling me a world changer. I was like, I'm not sure about that. But then he believed in the calling of God for us and the power of God to transform us. Of course, the transformation didn't happen like quick. It took like years of discipleship and really digging deep into our foundation for us to be able to make a difference. So these leaders who had an impact in my life, they were at various stages in their life when they helped me grow and helped me know God. There was a student, a nurse, working professional, a missionary. And then every stage or every season of my life, God will send people to help me know God and so that I would keep on walking with Him. And one of the things that they have in common is just they are sure that they are sons and daughters, that they are ministers of reconciliations. They are missionaries, whatever the title that they have at work, at school, or at home. They are sons and daughters, and therefore, they're going to share who their father is. And that's what I'm so grateful for. She said, I have 15 minutes. So, if every one of them believe that as we preach the gospel and train the students while they are on campus, we can change the world. Because their hope is not set on what they can do. Their hope is set on God. The hope to change the campus and change the world is anchored to who God is and what God can do. So the younger person seated next to you can make an impact, not because of what they can do, but because of the work of God in their life. So if the students will hope in God and keep His commands, they can make an impact wherever they go. So Every Nation Campus Manifesto, change the world, change the campus, change the world. And we had this, we are the founder of our church, Pastor Rice Brooks, wrote 8 reasons why we need to reach the campus. First is, it says, the future leaders of society are on our campuses. We all know that before they can assume any leadership role, they have to be trained, they have to learn, and they usually are on the university. That's why we have campus ministry. It's our umbrella to reach the next generation and train them in the ways of the Lord. And one of the universities that we are reaching out to is NTU. We have some students who studied there. Yeah, Danny? Some students who studied there. And yeah, 5 out of 8 presidents studied in NTU. But imagine raising up more leaders, not just in politics, but in business, in the arts, raising up godly leaders. Leaders who are focused on serving the needs of the people, leaders who will bring hope to the nation and reflect the image of God. Imagine the impact that we can make if we reach more students who would really image who God is, who would speak life, who would inspire people, who would bring healing in whatever they are experiencing. The second is major movements, bad or good, start on campus. One of the examples that is very relatable to us here in Taiwan is the Wild Lily Student Movement. It is also called the March Student. So it was a 6-day demonstration in 1990 for democracy, and it was initiated by NTU students, National Taiwan University, and they attracted 22,000 more people during that time. And because of that, they played a crucial role in Taiwan's history in making a transition of Taiwan's political atmosphere and political role to democracy. So if these students can make an impact, we're not sure if they have God, they have a relationship with God. But what if we raise more students who have God in them, who would choose justice, who would choose and fight for what is right? How much impact can they make if they are filled with the Holy Spirit? And the third, majority of those who become Christian do so as a student. I'm not sure if it's still true today, because kind of the survey was a long time ago. It says 95% of adults became Christians as a student. So I will make a survey. How many of you received Christ before you were 18? Raise your hands. Okay. And what about those who accepted Christ before 24? It's the same people. So the age group, the student age group, sorry. So it's the student age group. I think for us, it's still true. 90% of people come to know Christ when they are a student. And fourth is international students impact their nations. You know, we have a legacy here that our church was planted by Pastor Casey. He was reached out when he was an international student in the U.S. And then as he was growing in his faith, he received a vision from God. He studied in NTU, and he saw the glory of God shining in full garden. And then he knew that God is calling him to come back to Taiwan, start a church, and reach the students in NTU, reach the next generation in Taiwan, so that they will also know God. He didn't just plant a church here, but he also planted a church in Guangzhou, in Shanghai, in Hong Kong. Imagine if we reach more students who would obey the call to preach the gospel. Number five is, the values on campus become the values in society. So whatever the student learned, it will reflect on the way they live their lives. It will affect how they treat people around them, how they do business. And yeah, when I was a student, I was grateful that I was taught how to make decisions based on the Word of God and to take responsibility for my actions, because that prepared me for my future as a working professional. And one of the things they taught me is to be excellent in everything that I do, because it is an act of worship to God. That whatever I do it excellently, with or without someone looking or supervising me. Whether my boss is here, I will do my best. Whether I'm out of the country, I will do my best. Because I am working for the Lord. I'm honoring the Lord with my job. And because of that, I found favor with my previous boss. He told me that I can work from home, even before COVID time. I can work from home. And because he knew that I was constantly rushing to go to the church because I was a campus volunteer. Yeah, you see here, these are some of the photos where I was at a coffee shop. I was doing my work and the students would just hang out with me, and then they wait for me after I finish my task. I would do one-to-one. I would do connect group, or I think this one is preparation for Victory Weekend, preparation for them to be baptized. So God helped me to find favor in the eyes of people so that I can fulfill the calling that He has for me. And even I was not just making a difference in the campus, but even at work, because I have like a coworker who is also a Christian. So we would usually pray in the morning, we would invite God to our meetings, and then slowly we have helped change the atmosphere in our company. The people around us learned how to pray. Every birthday, we know that we will pray. They will ask us to pray. And we even organize a Bible study tour for our clients. So we bring like 40 to 50 people to Israel, bring our pastor, teach them the word of God, preach the gospel, and invite them to recommit to Jesus. Yeah, so that's our hope. Our hope as we teach the next generation about who God is, as we teach them biblical principles, that they will live out their calling and purposes in their workplace, and that will cause the people to see the goodness of God, and they will honor God. And number six, the most available trainable groups of people are on our campus. They're busy, but their schedule is still, you can still change. Unlike the parents or the workers who are working 9 to 5, they're more flexible. Our leaders trained me when I was a student to think and act like a leader. So we were not just supposed to wait for them to tell us what to do. We were supposed to think with them. I was like, oh, I don't like thinking. Just tell me what to do. But they would be like, they would help us to think. They would tell us the idea. This is the principle. This is what we want to happen. So what's your idea? And they would wait. Even if we don't say a word, they would wait because they want to train us. They want us to think for ourselves and hear from God as well, so that when they are not around, we can make decisions and hear from God. So they also identified our skills, sent us to a lot of trainings, and they also gave us platform to lead, platform to improve our skills. We were not just trained to do things, we were trained to train others. And that's what we want to do. We train the next generation to be disciple makers as well. Seventh, when we reach a student, we reach a family. I think some of us here became Christian because one of our family members came to know Christ. And that's also our hope, that every student that we meet, their family will also come to know God. And lastly, the most important thing, God has promised to pour out His Spirit on sons and daughters. Our vision is to see a society, a nation filled with God-fearing leaders. Leaders we discipled on campus, whether it's business leaders, artists, teachers, or even parents. We want to see them fulfilling the call of God in their lives. We are hoping to see Spirit-empowered generations who will use the platform that they have and skills that they have to bring healing to the nation, to bring healing to the people, to seek justice for the oppressed, and help those who cannot help themselves. Yeah, can you imagine the impact if every Christian in every nation would invest in the next generation, would disciple one person and turn them into a mission force? It says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is the power of God. It is God that the next generation needs. so that they will know their purpose. They will know that there is hope and they can fight for their calling. They will know their identity in God. They will know that they are loved, that they are not alone, they are not abandoned. And this power of God, once it comes upon them, they are unstoppable. And I believe God doesn't just want to fill the next generation with His power, but each and every one of us here. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon you. God wants you to carry His presence wherever you go, so that you can be an effective witness of who He is to the world. So I just want to pray for each one of us right now. Let's just pause a little and then ask God, God, what is my role for the next generation? What are you calling me to do for the younger person that I have in my life? Would you speak to me, oh God? Thank you, Father, that you are before us. You have reminded us of how good you are, of your glorious deeds in the past. We thank you for what you have done on the cross. We thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and still loving me, even though I forget. And sometimes I complain. I was ungrateful. I did not acknowledge you. I just ignore you. We just ask today and invite you into our hearts. We're sorry for our sins. We're sorry for hurting you. Help us to believe in what you said, to believe in your promises. Help us to step into the calling that you have for us. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can be a mission force wherever we go. In Jesus' name.
Great job. Thank you, Lynn. There are a lot of students here. You know, as Every Nation Taipei, we're part of Every Nation worldwide. And as a church movement, this has always been our strategy to reach the nations. You know, currently, as a church movement, we have a little over 500 churches around the world, but we're over 1,000 campuses, university campuses. We have ministries because we just find that that's an opening. And so, you know, as here in Taipei, we just believe there's so much more that God wants to do here in Taipei, Taiwan. And we do believe that one of the keys for reaching Taiwan is to hit the campuses and to hit the next generation. And so, you know, I began as a campus minister. That was my first official position in the church, was campus ministry. I started that as a student, leading our campus ministry at the University of Hawaii, and then taking over that ministry as I was carrying a full-time job. My job was normally 60 to 70 hours a week. And in addition to that, I led our campus ministry. So God uses all kinds of people. And if you feel called and want to serve, we have just two campus missionaries here to reach all the students. And we need more. So if you feel called, I want to invite you up to come and just talk to Lynn. If you've got time during the day, especially to get on campus, other students, or if you've got time after school or after work, and just students, they don't go to sleep till late, so you can have a discipleship late at night. Just don't do it early in the morning. And so I'm going to ask Lynn to just come up and be up front here. I'm also going to invite all of our prayer ministers to just come on up. Would you stand with me as we close? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you not only came to reach us, but Lord, you've invited us to come alongside you to reach others. And God, I pray that us, and we as a church, Lord, we would have a heart and a passion to make disciples, to take all that you've poured into our lives and to share it with others. And especially, Lord God, a heart for the next generation, for college students here in Taipei and in Taiwan, who will be the leaders of the next generation. God, may we pour your spirit into them, Lord God. May we reach them with the gospel. May you place in this church, Lord, a passion for the campus and a heart for the next generation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, go look for some kids, some next generation people to invest and encourage. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.